proclaim the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions.
This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, presenting another radio Bible study. We began a series last time on David's elite warriors, known as his mighty men. These individuals remain faithful to David. On one occasion, though, the temptation to abandon their leader might have entered their minds. An incident described in the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel denoted one of the low points in David's life, where his men were at the point of turning on David and stoning him. After the Philistine leaders dismissed David and his military contingent, David and his mighty men returned to their headquarters in Ziklag. In their absence, though, an Amalekite force had attacked that city. The invaders made captives of the families of David's men. In addition, the Amalekites despoiled the wealth of the city's inhabitants. David and his men grieved exceedingly when they returned to Ziklag and found the bad news. David's men, discouraged by the turn of events, even spoke about stoning David. Nonetheless, they did not carry out their threat to kill him. They continued to follow him as their leader, even though they blamed him for their losses. David's mighty men had already marched from the city of Aphek, which was the location of the Philistine camp, from Aphek to Ziklag for more than 2 days. However, they went with him to pursue and overtake the Amalekites. One third of David's army grew so fatigued from the pursuit that he had to leave them by the brook Besor. The remainder of his men continued with their march. Under David's leadership, his warriors inflicted a great defeat upon the Amalekites, and, as the writer of 1 Samuel chapter 30 put it, quote, "David recovered all," unquote. After the battle ended, some members of David's army wanted to withhold the spoils of war from the 200 men that remained by the brook Besor. David stood against them, declaring that even those individuals who did not fight would share in the wealth that the Israelites captured from the Amalekites. Moreover, David's decision initiated a custom that the Israelite armies would follow thereafter. Note that none of David's mighty men appeared to join the faction that opposed David. Their faithfulness to him enabled him both to defeat an external enemy and to thwart internal dissension. Sometimes, though, David had to reject his adherents' wishes. During his flight from Saul, he and his men found their adversary asleep in a cave on one occasion. David's followers wanted him to kill Saul immediately, but David refused, saying, quote, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord," unquote. David not only refused to kill Saul himself, but he also restrained his men from doing the deed. By this, David showed the leadership's willingness to go against the wishes of his men because of his fidelity to a higher cause, namely, trusting in God to deliver him and bring him the kingship. Overseeing a contingent of mighty men helped David master the skills he would need to reign successfully. They enabled him to learn how to lead men. Furthermore, David's mighty men assisted him in many ways, as we'll see in the future lessons. This is Mark Oshman with the International Board of Jewish Missions, bringing you another radio Bible study.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation, a ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can contact us at 423-876-8150 or go online to ibjm.org. Until next time, may God bless and shalom.